Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our band of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
The Prime Boothman.
Boothman Prime.
What's going on, guys? What's up? What's the dealio?
It's great. Thank you for giving us the control of the mic.
You're anytime. And we always over say, to my friends.
We're a jazz trio, and we're all playing the instrument of our personality.
I'm the guy that comes in at the beginning with the boom.
Justin, how was your weekend?
The bassist?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You're definitely that guy. You know what you're talking about. It was great. It was my daughter's birthday. I was saying this to Pete backstage. We asked our daughter, what do you want? Who do you want to come to your birthday party? And she was like, Mima, who is my mother. And we were like, she's not going to come. And then she was like, Arlo, which is a friend of hers. And we were like, he'll definitely be here. And then the third person she said was Pete.
What?
Not a joke.
Why wouldn't you invite me to her birthday party? I would have loved to come.
If you came over with children, and I mean, that's bad off the jump. And the fact that it was like,
if she wanted me to show up, I could have showed up.
No, I think it's Pete came over to record a podcast or something, or when she was a kid, like when she was a baby. And for some reason, I think she's like, oh, Justin's friends with Pete. So Pete is very, lives large in her mind. And so she's like, she will randomly just say,
We had a lot of fun making fun of you.
She was a baby, so I don't know how much she
laughed.
Did that.
She laughed at my jokes.
She laughed at farting, so I think she's right in your audience.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry, Alex.
Made no impression whatsoever. She kind of snuck into your house and then snuck out, and that was pretty much it.
Oh,
that's cool.
You did that?
Yeah, no. I'm saying just in general.
Oh, for recording a podcast. That's a weird thing to say after all nothing. I just snuck into your house. I mean,
don't worry about it. Unrelated to the birthday party you're having for your daughter, I snuck into your house. Don't worry about it. We're going to move on.
Okay, cool.
I will say, actually, so a while ago, a couple of years back, we went on a cruise together.
We talk about it a lot. Everyone knows what we're talking about.
Yes, and my whole family came with us, and my son, for years, whenever I would say, okay, it's Tuesday, I'm going to go do the show, he would say, with Justin and Pete? Aww. And I'd say, mm-hmm, and he'd say, on a boat, right? Yeah. Like, well, no, not this time. Maybe next time.
That's funny. To be fair, it doesn't make sense what we do.
No,
and he's
not at all. Yeah. It's cool. We'll do it on a boat at some point. Guys, very excited about the guests that we have on the show tonight. They are the creators of the comic book The Weatherman, which we love very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Fox and Jody LeHoo.
Yeah,
Come welcome on out, back, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Right this way.
Hello.
Great
good
to see
you.
Thank you for doing
this. Hello. Thanks for coming out. Thank you. Woo. Guys, thanks so much for coming.
Oh, yeah.
Back
absolutely.
To the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, love me. Very excited to have you. So, Weatherman.
Yeah.
Volume 2 is coming out very soon.
Yeah, June 26th.
That means there's been multiple issues of The Weatherman, and they've been collected, right?
That's correct.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking to the wrong guys, but they're the ones.
No, I'm just checking that I know what comic books are.
Yes, they're collected. It's called a trade paperback, which is a term we don't use anymore, but we do.
Yeah, you lost me. So for those in the audience who don't necessarily know what the concept of Weatherman is, why don't you plug it for them?
Sure. So it takes place in the far future. Earth's been destroyed by the worst terrorist attack in human history, and all that's left of humanity are now living on terraform Mars. And all those folks are angry and afraid and worried about another attack, and they're looking for someone to blame. And so in that environment, you're introduced to this character, Nathan Bright, who's like a fun-loving local weatherman. He's got a really cool girlfriend. He's got a kick-ass dog.
The perfect life.
Exactly.
A fun-loving weatherman is like an ideal life.
He's got it made, absolutely. And I'm losing my train of thought here. Yeah, so he all of a sudden finds himself accused of masterminding this attack, which is crazy, right? Because he's like, I'm your local weatherman. You see me on your commutes every morning.
I'm
like,
a goof.
Yeah, exactly. I can't possibly have done this horrific thing.
Yeah, ill-suited to say the least.
Absolutely. Mm. The problem is there's a giant hole in Nathan's memory, and he can't actually say if he did it or not.
Ooh.
So he's forced on the run, totally unprepared for life as the galaxy's most wanted man. And he has to, find the truth and hopefully find the key to stopping a second mass attack.
Where did where did the concept of having a weatherman as the hero of the book start? Where did that specifically come from?
Local news?
Honestly, I think it started, the earliest kernel of the idea goes way, way back to, you know, before I wrote this book, obviously, or Shirtless Bear Fighter, or before I had an editorial career at Marvel. Back when I was sort of like pecking away at writing, you know, early efforts. And I was really into crime fiction at the time, and I was just trying to think of a concept for a short story, and I had this, I kept settling this character that was a weatherman. And it was all finger guns and smiles on camera, and then off camera he was suffering in some way. And I couldn't really figure it out at the time, and just kind of put it down and forgot about it. And then, like I mentioned, I had this whole editorial career where, you know, I'm working on superhero books, but all of those books are, you know, sort of these micro-examinations of genre in and of themselves. And, you know, and I'm working on so many books at one time, spinning all these different plates, and so my brain is just full of all this information and just got really stretched out, I guess, with all these ideas. So when I left editorial to go back to writing, I just, you know, I had so much that I wanted to do, and I was just sort of digging back through my earlier stuff and found this character again and just started building to it and adding to it, and I found that I had just so much more to say now than I did then, and you know, just sort of realized how elastic the medium was, and you know, could just create my own circumstances and scenarios and world, and it just kind of ballooned like crazy to being about a lot of stuff. So,
well, you really started with the weatherman. That's fun.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What I love about the book is we meet our protagonist and we find out that he is most likely the architect of this horrifying thing. So then you're like, oh, do I like this guy, and now he's the bad guy, and then he sort of flips again. You keep flipping us on him, and this is just in the first like volume, the first handful of issues for it. And that's, you don't see that a lot in storytelling, and it's especially in comic books where it's like pretty hard line. That's what I call a hero, and that guy's a bad guy.
Yeah, this book is definitely not binary in any way. It's extremely gray, I think that, you know, that mirrors our reality much more than you know, like a most superhero comics or that kind of thing.
Nathan, how did you come on board the project, and have you also always had a relationship with weathermen?
I actually know a couple of weathermen through my wife.
Really? A couple of weathermen?
Wow. Well, not weathermen.
Why would you need to know more than one?
Meteorologists.
Why didn't you tell me this?
Cool. So, okay, cool. But only from a distance.
We could have done a ride along.
What's that?
We could have done a ride-along, just like hung out with him. And
we should have.
Yeah. Wow, that would be the worst ride-along.
My Twister movie worst dreams ride-along. Would have come true.
Yeah.
I got this crazy phone call, and I picked it up, and this guy says, hey, I know you don't remember me, but I talked to you a while ago about a cover. I've got this idea for this book, and before he finished talking, I said, no, thanks. It's all right.
Turn me down a flat. He's like, absolutely not. Don't lose my number.
Yeah. So, but I honestly, just hearing the concept of it, and at the time, I happened to be starting, I kind of left work for hire for a while and focused on teaching. I run a grad program at the School of Visual Arts and Storytelling. So I really just focused on launching the grad program and kind of getting back to it, and was really frustrated with comics and enjoying doing it and loving it, but you know, not really owning any of it, wanting to write my own stuff. And I started writing, and I'm dealing with all this personal stuff and, you know, really kind of getting into it. And then Jody called, and a lot of the stuff that I was already doing, he had written much, or what I was working on, Jody was dealing with it on such a higher level. It was a great opportunity to work with somebody of his caliber, which honestly, the writing is beautiful. The words are beautiful. The scripts are amazing. I don't know. We just started talking, started, you know, debating larger questions, and you know, he basically sent me the first the pitch and the first issue. And I was like, all right, well, you know, he sent me some more, and I started reading some more, and it was so obvious that it was kind of a dream project come true, and it was really hard to not want to tell this story, because I guess for the first time, at least on my end, which is what I was searching for and hoping to write on my own, was, you know, like a really great project where I felt I was at a point and especially now, I feel like I actually have something to say in the medium after like 7 to 10 years of attempting it, right? Mm-hmm. And like being in a place where I actually want to say something and commit. And the story and what we're working on and where everything is headed just fit that bill perfectly. And it was great. It was a great collaboration.
Cool. Speaking of working with high caliber people whose words are poetry,
yes, what's up, Justin?
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm complimenting us, but for Nathan. you were one of our first interviews like 10 years ago via Skype when we were working on a show called The Pulp Secret Report.
I remember.
We Skyped with you in a state far away.
I am back in Wisconsin.
That's where you live now.
Yeah. I am in an undisclosed location in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Smart.
Horrifying.
Smart. Good. Great. Okay. We'll find you.
but it's crazy that happened so long ago.
And we ran into each other off and on at cons. It's been great. Yeah.
So it is weird that time passes.
I mean, it's true.
It was like 2 years ago.
Yes. So it sounds like from what you're saying, when you got on board the project, it sounds like you already had a bunch of the scripts and ideas done. What is the collaborative process like between you two?
I mean, I think that early days, this is one of those books that I wanted to write a fair amount of before I tried to pitch it or bring another person on, just because it's real different. And I kind of wanted to make sure I had my arms wrapped around what it was. I had a fair amount, built up a pretty good head of steam, a bunch of scripts I was able to send over. In terms of the collaborative process, I mean, I write full scripts. We discuss a lot, particularly about world elements and acting. And, you know, Nathan is just, I mean, he's an absolute genius. You know, he's a total master storyteller. I'm not even kidding. He's just incredible what he's
this
able
is
to
a
do.
Real love fest over here, really, guys.
No,
like,
I'm
really
serious.
Beautiful.
I cannot say.
Are you guys just nonstop compliments?
Where do you find the time to work on the book?
Only in public.
It's in public.
The cuffs come off in private and on the phone. Yeah.
Oh no, we'll disagree about stuff, but not very often. Anyway, point is, he's so good at so many things. He's really great with acting, small moments, big moments. His art has so much energy, but he knows how to tone it down at the right times. It's all fantastic, and obviously his illustration is incredible. But
you're like a divorced couple giving a toast at a wedding who just had a fight before they stepped out. Like, oh my God, he's amazing.
That's so good.
I think there is something to be said for her time.
Stop being so jealous of the relationship.
Yo, I sit next to you. Like, I can't imagine you saying anything even.
Fuck you.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I get from you. So I am jealous.
There is something to be said about collaborations who have time to really focus on story and kind of put it first. And I was kind of blown away that he wanted to continue working, because I basically told him, look, this is awesome, but I can't start for a year. I don't know if you want to wait, but you know, I can't do this.
He waited for previous commitments.
Well, no, I was happy to wait. I mean, it was honestly when
God,
I was.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
So can I finish my statement, please?
Yeah.
Don't interrupt me.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's get messy.
I guess my point was, dear.
Oh no.
No, that we. You know how I feel about you. There was something amazing about those first 2 years before anything really came out, because we had a lot of time to focus on development. And I think that time was invaluable looking back, and it's only kind of compounded where we know we want to take it in as it's kind of growing and telling us what it wants.
And you guys are taking your time with it, because the last issue came out like 4 or 5 months ago, something like that?
Yeah, for sure. The last issue came out in November, and the new one comes out in June,
And the trade's coming out, or the trade has come out.
Yeah, volume one is out, yeah.
And then how much more, is this going to be another like chunk, and then we're going to keep getting pieces, or how does it break down?
So the plan is for it to be 3 volumes. That's what we're working toward now. Probably the same sort of time frame. We'll take a break in between arcs, just because, you know, we don't want to bring another art team on, you know what I mean? We really want this to be a singular voice. I think the book deserves that.
Makes a big difference.
It absolutely makes a big difference. And we feel like people are, you know, maybe a little bit, or readers are a little bit more open to that sort of thing these days, you know, just sort of treating it like seasons. You know, television does the exact same thing. They have a production schedule, the season comes out, they take a break because they don't want to farm it out to other people just to kind of hit some kind of a weekly or monthly model or whatever.
You don't want to bring another person into your relationship.
No, no, these things take, exactly.
That's a big move.
I mean, I do, but I won't.
Yeah, oh, no, that's, see, that's, and that's the restraint.
Exactly.
That's the
right.
Restraint that's important. Like, no. We didn't want to bring Alex into our relationship.
No, I didn't join the show for 5 years.
it was a five-year clusterfuck.
Literally.
And then Alex came in.
Emphasis on the second word.
And Alex slowly moved his seat from over here through a now he sits in the
I really work
like a little prince. I hope. Like a special prince.
Listen, I hope someday to work my way to that seat and then that seat.
We'll
see what happens.
And then out, and then the doors over there.
Just right out of the theater.
We're at a midpoint, you're saying. Yeah. We've been here for a while.
Right. This is the midpoint of my life, and then I'll be dead.
Okay,
I want to talk to you more about the production schedule, just because both of you have been in comics for a very long time. Do you feel... there was this pressure, right, for decades, and there's still this pressure with the big comics, with Marvel and DC, that this product has to come out every single month, no matter what. When you're doing a project like this, what are you focusing on? Are you feeling like the audience is going to follow you no matter how often it comes out? Is it focused on the trade? Is it focused on the end product? What are you looking towards?
Well, I think you said it right there, is they look at it as this product has to come out. And that's not how we look at it. We look at it as we have a story to tell. We want to tell it at the highest level we can, and we're going to take the time to do that because it's important to us. We hope people and readers will stick around for that. We hope to, you know, that they find the story compelling and what we're doing exciting enough to understand why the break is there and to come along for that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what you want, right? Like, as a reader, is a really quality story and a really good reading experience. You know, comics are amazing, you know, so why don't we, you know, prove that.
Well, and it gives us a chance to make something that we know we would want to see,
right?
As opposed to churning it out for a print production deadline or being under that gun and that pressure. You know, when we got started, we knew we didn't want to miss any dates. We wanted to make sure it was out on time. We wanted to build an audience. The volumes as they come out are hopefully, you know, great entry points every time there's a new first issue. So, you know, those who may have heard about it or read the trade might be interested in the single issues if they want something seasonal. You know, so it has all of those entry points and those availabilities. But, I mean, make no mistake about it. I mean, this story means something to us. And, awesome. You know, this is a selfish act as well. And we want to, it's not like we're trying to control it, but Jody said it perfectly, right? It's like we wanted to make a quality book, and we wanted to make, like, big meal comics. We didn't want it to be beholden to that production.
Yeah, and just real quickly, it's not a foregone conclusion. There's not the assumption that the readers are going to be there, you know?
Yeah.
We're taking a risk doing this, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so far we've had, you know, our book's doing great. We've got an incredible fan base. And hopefully they stick around to see it all the way through.
For a television adaptation, is there a celebrity weatherman you'd want to cast in the role?
Oh, man. I mean...
And obviously, we all know the long list of celebrity weathermen. So are there any...
Sure. We don't need to repeat any of their names. Of course not.
There's many of them.
I mean, if I could pick somebody like off the top of my head, like right now on the spot, I'd probably say like a Sam Rockwell type or a Paul Rudd type.
Oh, nice.
They're not weathermen. Somebody
they're not weathermen, but I guess you could... They are actors, so they can learn the weather part.
Sure.
But how much do you have to train?
You want me to pick actual weathermen?
Yeah, if you can name a weatherman who's not Al Roker, I'll buy you a drink for sure.
Actual weatherman that's not Al Roker?
Yeah.
I'm horrible with names. I'm totally blanking, but I see their faces.
Yeah. That's what celebrity is, by the way. That's what's not being a celebrity.
Think of a ridiculous pun that involves the weather, and that's probably the name of a weatherman. Like Stormy Weathers is probably a weatherman somewhere up.
Very likely.
It's a weatherman?
Absolutely.
Wow. What world?
Or something else.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah.
How about a fictional weatherman?
Yeah. Okay.
Steve Carell?
Steve Carell. That's an actor. Yeah. That's a human. That's a real person.
Well, he played a weatherman.
He played a weatherman.
What was the name of his character?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, too. Well, there's something about weathermen.
Eat your face. Get off of our show.
Weathermen are forgettable people.
And
that's what I'm saying. We forget everything. Like Groundhog Day, Bill Murray, what's his name? Phil Connors. There you go.
All right. Next trade comes out in June, right?
The first issue of Volume 2 comes out in June.
Oh, okay.
The next trade, Volume 2 trade, we haven't put on the schedule yet, probably be February next year.
All right. Yeah. That's longer than that. Okay, definitely check that out. Where could you find out more information about the Weatherman?
You can follow us online, for sure, on Twitter and Instagram, at WM_comic. We've got lots of premium materials, news, updates, all that good stuff. Definitely check it out.
Weather.
Yep.
Think about it. Not a bad idea.
For sure. Yeah. And you also go to Image's website. And yeah.
All right. Very cool. Definitely check that out. And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're very briefly going to talk about a couple of other books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with one of Pete's favorites, Murder Falcon number 8 from Image Comics. This is the last issue of Murder Falcon. Are you giving up on everything after this? Are you done with comics?
Yeah, I'm done with comic books after this. This is just... I would like to say I took a big gamble after the first issue and made a T-shirt, a Murder Falcon T-shirt, because I was
that's a huge gamble.
Yeah, because I had a feeling that it was going to be a legendary run, and it didn't disappoint.
Wait, what color was the T-shirt?
It was black.
Always been on black.
Oh, Good. Thanks, Wesley Snipes.
I like to think there you have a bunch of T-shirts at home of comics that you made a T-shirt for, or like didn't really live up to it. Didn't work out.
No,
I'll put you away, Punisher War Journal. I'll put you away.
That worked out.
It wasn't good. Okay, great. Final Crisis T-shirt.
Last issue really delivered. I must have read this on the train. I want to say 13 times, something
How
like that.
How long was your train ride?
Yeah.
No, it was just like every day keep reading it.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. Yeah.
There was a... I heard,
13 days in a row?
I heard tell of train delays because of a sobbing man on the
I did.
The
I did. The first time I rode it, I broke down and cried. It was really... It was like grown men crying on the train. It was great because people spread out. I got to stretch. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. If you're worried about being too crowded, just start crying. Yeah, really, people will give you space.
That's a great life hack. Yeah. Maybe we should talk about the book.
Oh, did you want to talk about the book?
We definitely have your story down.
Yeah.
So the idea of this book is there's a dude who discovers that his guitar has the ability to summon the titular Murder Falcon. Yeah. He finds that he needs to reassemble his metal band in order to stop beings from another dimension and save the entire world. Mm-hmm. It's built and built and built over the course of 8 issues. The art is absolutely stunning and gorgeous. Yeah. This series has been crazy. But the thing that's anchored it is it's kept it in the human realm the entire time and really focused on the emotion and the life of this main character, peppering the enormous, and I do mean enormous, fight scenes with these very quiet scenes of emotion at the same time, which has been absolutely beautiful. How have you felt about it, Justin?
I mean... really like this book. It's very he definitely brought it in, and he was wearing clothes themed on it, so I was understandably dubious. It's like when your friend joins a cult and you're like, okay, cool, but not my thing perhaps. Cool for you. I'm just super cool.
What a cool cult.
Of a cool cult. But it is really good. The art's amazing, like you're saying, and the way that the story unfolds, you sort of know. I don't want to get into spoiling it for people that haven't read it, but if you're a Pete fan, you probably have it tattooed on your body at this point. Yeah. But the reveal of what's happening with the main character is sort of given to you before the last issue. You know, it's given to you throughout the series, and so it adds all this emotional weight to everything that's happening before you finally get to the last 4 pages or whatever, when it's just... It is... super sad.
Super emotional. Really well done. I just think it's one of those things where what's great about it is it's so over the top and ridiculous. It's giant monsters destroying the world, and the only thing that can save the day is metal music. Yeah. And there's a Murder Falcon. And, you know, it's like insane. But the small moments, like Alex was saying, of like the relationship stuff. You find out what happened with this guy's relationship, and it's just heartbreaking. And then you find out about the main character, and it's even more heartbreaking. And then you get to this, like, final scene that you think, like, I can't take anymore, and then it just keeps pushing it. And it's just, it's so beautiful. It's so over the top. It's just, it really does a great job of doing all the things and elevating the comic art form in such a beautiful way, a powerful way.
Has this made you respect regular Falcons anymore?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely does, yeah.
Cool.
That's a real world repercussion.
That's great. He was very mean to Falcons previously.
Before this, now.
That's good news. Yeah. That's good news for the ecosphere. All right, let's move on to Shazam.
What an environmental message, Alex. You just dropped in there. Man. The ecosphere is saved. The ecosphere.
Do you mean Earth? I don't know.
We
all call it different names.
We call it the ecosphere, though, on this show. We always say, the Green New Deal is finally going to save the ecosphere.
Call it whatever you want, Pete. Earth. Shazam number 5 from DC Comics. This is from writer Jeff Johns and artist Dale Eaglesham. This book just is a load of fun. I'm having a good time with this book. What?
That's a funny way to put it. It's a real load of fun. It's like a dump truck of good.
It is like that, though.
No, I mean, I think
that legitimately is how to describe it.
I agree with it, but it's just a funny way to say it. Talk about something you like. It's like being like, God, this marriage is a load of love. Real load of love.
Unlike a picnic basket full of giggles.
That's it. Yes. 100%.
Well done, sir. I do think it's a good way of describing it, though, because this book is like reading candy. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You're following Shazam and the rest of the Marvel
family.
You like
reading candy?
All right. Yeah. Like the outside
Alex,
of a laughing
tap. Some sort of
I don't want to eat this, but man, this is a good reading.
You're having a psychotic break.
Sorry. Sounds like somebody doesn't like Laffy Taffy.
Yeah, who's
Too
not?
Too many words.
What do you do with your popsicle stick when you get to the joke?
Read it?
Okay.
All right.
Nice. Let's keep going with our reviews. So
we're journalists, as we proved 10 years ago.
So the Marvel family has been split into these 7 magical realms. Some of them are filled with animals. One of them is filled with video games. Another one is a wonderland for children that is literally built on the backs of adults who are building it. It's a lot, but it's all packed with this awesome art from Dale Eaglesham that literally packs every single panel with so many characters, so many ideas, so many things going on, which is why it really does feel like eating candy when you read it, where it's just, it gives you this sugar rush. It's very written as an adult writing for kids, so it does have that level of things. But it's fun. I'm enjoying the ideas that are going on in here. It's cute. The art is great. What do you guys think about the book?
Yeah, I mean, the art alone is worth it. All the worlds that they create is really fantastic. But yeah, it's kind of just a fun playing with all these different ideas at once. It has a nice kind of storytelling flow to it, which is great, so you don't get caught up in one idea too long. I've been impressed with this, and I'm usually not a Shazam guy. So
yeah, it is crazy how much is going on, because there are all the members of the Marvel family, many of which I'm like, which one are you? You're Lightning, but a different type?
I think you need to remember 3 members of the Marvel family, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
There's Captain Marvel, Mary Marvel, Captain Marvel Jr., and then a couple of others.
Yeah. And it's crazy, we don't even know the names of these characters, but it's still like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
but they're all in these different worlds. And the way that, I mean, Jeff Johns has been doing comics forever, so like he can sort of move through this information in a way that makes us be like, I'm taking it all in at the same time. I guess I would just say it's a real load of fun.
Cool. Pick those both up, and that's it for the stack.
Wait. What about the Spider-Man issue?
We don't have it in a copy of it here.
Yeah, but we can
you want to talk about
it? Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
So, the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, do you know what number it was?
Nope.
Okay, great. This is already off to a good start.
Yeah. Well, it was a very touching...
Hey, Prince Alex, this is usually what you talk about.
All right.
But it was a very touching issue. You have a Spider-Man in the middle of a big brawl, and then all of a sudden a 9-year-old shows up. 9.5-year-old. And it's
thank
kind of,
you.
And it's like,
big
hey,
difference.
My name is Spider Bite, and I'm here to help. And you're like, what? But then the fight just keeps escalating. And then if you notice in the backgrounds start to deteriorate and turn into like kind of cardboard cutouts of backgrounds. You're like, what the fuck is happening to this comic? And then you kind of go back to like a playroom and you see Spider-Man playing with this little kid. And it's very touching. And it's kind of the story of Spider-Man taking time out of his day to spend it with the kid. And then, like, the parents have kind of, like, a breakdown in front of Spider-Man. You're like, oh, shit, how is this superhero going to do with this real-world stuff? And then he, like...
starts punching the parents, which is fucked up.
That's not what happened. It's way...
Yeah, and so Spider-Man's, like, you know, the kid's, like, he's worried that if he goes to sleep that he won't wake up.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man was like, oh, we had a fun day. And then he like goes back in. He's like, the day's not over. Get your jacket. And they go web-slinging. And it was very touching.
You definitely cried on the train reading this one, too, didn't you?
You're kind of crying right now talking about it.
You are crying a little bit right now. And I'll tell you what, Pete, that's the first book that you've ever explained the story of, ever.
Yeah, in a way that you could follow.
Exactly. And you're crying. Yeah. Think about that.
I don't want to.
Yeah, that's cool.
Did you look up what number it was?
Six. It's number six, guys.
This issue is really wonderful. It's well written. It's very emotional.
It's super sad.
It's very
like,
sad.
Between this and Murder Falcon, it's like a real, I'm dehydrated. I bet I need to recharge.
Tell you what, if you want a load of fun, read Shazam. It'll really take the edge off. That is actually it for the stack. Guys, we're going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Hey, Zub, we should point out we do have three copies of this to give out to our
Weatherman
Volume 1.
Now, just real quick question. I don't know if you did this pre-show or if this is the giveaways. We also have a Fuck Soups hats. Courtesy of the boys, we have several
Did
hundred.
Did anybody want a fuck soup hat? Yeah,
several
there you
hundred.
Go. Right.
Now, let's keep in mind, we have hundreds of these.
Hundreds.
So we will be giving these away every week.
The boys coming to Prime Video on July 26th will have hats way past that.
They're fun and... hard to wear in public.
Yes, I wore one home, and I was like, oop, my kids can never see this.
Yeah.
All right, you, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Harris Telemacher.
Okay, great.
Steve Martin, L.A. Story. Steve Martin, L.A. Story. He was a weatherman.
Wow. Did you look that up, or did you know that?
He knows that. He is a human computer.
Wow.
So... I have a question and a comment.
I like that you said that name and thought we would know. When we just, we just proved that we have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah.
Now, you talked about comics compared to TV, and of course TV is going through the upfronts right now. So if you could take a comic and pitch it as a 13-episode, basically like miniseries, what comic storyline would you pitch?
13
episodes. 13, not 10 or 8 or 22.
Choice of number, unlucky number.
Interesting.
And as a miniseries, so, and not an ongoing series. Right. This is just a close-ended comic book television show.
Other than The Weatherman, of course.
Yeah.
If you guys have any thoughts. Anybody? Pete?
Hackslash?
you go
great.
From Murder Falcon to
a
Heartstring Spider-Man to that.
Yeah, welcome to my brain, bro.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, he can only cry for so long before he touches.
A lot of love for Tim.
I can only do emotions for so long. I need violence.
Eventually, after about 5 minutes, his tears turn into bullets.
Exactly. Crying bullets.
Yeah. 13-episode
A kid can't be the weatherman, can't be shirtless bear fighter.
By the way, shirtless bear fighter was fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for
love
that.
Shirtless bear fighter.
Absolutely. If it can't be either one of those, I would seriously consider if it wasn't one of my projects or our projects. Guys, Murder Falcon is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. Like, I know I've gushed a lot about comic creators like on this show so far, but Danny Warren Johnson is just incredible.
He's
amazing. All right. And Mike Spicer did a great job on the book, too. He colored Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Yeah.
So
those
guys are all fantastic. But anyway, I mean, I would give some serious thought to that if it couldn't be one of my projects.
Yeah, Daniel's amazing. Not that I ever want to see it outside of a comic, just because it's my pedestal learning entry point of awesome. But I would love to see what would happen nowadays or even in the future with Domu. Otomo's Domu, I think, would be amazing and mind-blowing.
You just blew my mind.
Just to throw one out there, I'd love to see House of Penance. That's a book that came out, art by Ian Bertram a while ago. Really dark.
Vertigo book?
No, there was an image book. And the idea of the book was this, it's almost a Western. This guy who's a cowboy, kind of irredeemable, killed a lot of people, ends up in this house where people are just constantly building the house, making it bigger and changing the wings. And they're looking at it, like the title says, as a way of gaining penance for themselves. But the art for me and Bertram is very dark, and they start seeing these veins of blood seeping everywhere. It's the sort of thing that I think could work as like a Haunting of Hill House type series.
Yeah.
Where it is very dark, but it gets very deeply into the characters at the same time.
That's cool.
Thank you.
Very cool, Alex. It's the same artist as Little Bird, the book we were reading earlier today. We read together. And I was going to say...
I love that, by the way. I saw you guys on the train the other day and flipping the pages and
crying,
then waiting until you finish.
What's nice is he always asks me if I'm done reading before he flips the page.
Yeah, it's very sweet. We're darling, too. Yeah. We're cute. I was going to say Bone. I'd like to see Jeff Smith's Bone made into a television show.
Cool.
It'll fill the gap of Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And not be as dark.
Yeah. Pete, you got one? Or you already said Hackslash?
Yeah, I already said it.
Okay, great. You also had a comment. What was your comment?
A comment, okay.
Yeah, my comment is for Alex.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Cypher is the best X-Men.
Oh, yeah! Cypher quiz time! It's Cypher quiz time.
Great. Okay, for those of you who are new to the show, we have a secret Cypher quiz on the show.
Simon, those of you don't know who Cypher is, which we don't blame you, he is an X-Man, I guess the worst X-Man.
All right. No, I think this guy just said he's the best X-Man. So
words you made him say. And he his mutant power is like knowing other languages.
Right, exactly. So if you... We've gone through a couple of rounds of this already, but the phrase to unlock it is Cypher is the best X-Man, which Pete weirdly guessed. Very uncomfortable moment on the show. But we have a couple of questions that I'll go through. We've done some of these before, so you probably know these, but they're all in different languages that I have not studied, so I'm going to pronounce them wrong. Okay, first one. Quel est le vrai nom de Cypher?
Doug Ramsey.
Great.
Nice.
What is Cypher's real name? Quien creó Cypher?
Chris Clearma and Sal Buscema.
Yep, that's who created Cypher. All right, here we go. In Welke Questi, introducing he's
New Mutants 13.
Great, he was introduced in New Mutants 13.
That's great.
Here we go. Eke mese e ano?
1984.
Eke mese e ano? Eke mese e ano?
March.
Yep, it's March of 1984.
What? Yeah. Wow. How did you guess that?
All right.
Wow.
Wow, you were such a dick.
I was saying you were such a dick for not giving that to him. You were going to make him do the month.
Oh, yeah.
The month
dude
is in the question.
Did a secret Punisher quiz for 5 years without telling anybody. All right.
Also, I like the way you pronounced it again the second time.
Thank you.
It was really good.
Yeah. Wait until you hear the next one. Okay, here we go. Man, I really should have done this with language that I know. Okay. Guy Navin Tiltre of Cypher's Romantisque Interesseur.
Ooh, okay.
Do it again, but slower.
Guy... Navin Tiltre av Cypher's Romantisque Interesseur.
I know what the question is, but who would know the answer unless they're a real psychopath?
Well, I'm thinking you're going for Wolfsbane? Ron Sinclair?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Wow.
Part of it.
Okay.
Of course, you have to know Norwegian, maybe. I should have written that down.
You don't know the word. You're promoting Cypher. You don't even know what you wrote.
No, here's the thing that people don't recognize about Cypher. Everybody's like, oh, he can speak every language. He can't. He can only translate every language.
Cool. Very cool. Wow. What a fun X-Man fact. So he's not even, he can't even speak the language. He can just translate it?
I'll give it to you one more time. This, and I'll emphasize the part that might help. And this is the last time. Last time, and then we'll do this next show. Gi Navin Til Trey of Cypher's Romantisk Interesse.
Okay, so you're looking for three of his romantic interests. Okay, so we done Wolfsbane.
That's good.
Now, he had a crush on Kitty Pryde, but she never reciprocated.
But, all right, I think we can
count
that.
That's fine. Yeah. You know Alex is
going to
see.
And I am going to have to say, I mean, his most romantic relationship has to have been Warlock. I mean, come on.
No, they were friends.
They shared a body.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about as romantic as you're going
to
get.
You know, so just to prove to you I'm not no Pete with my quizzes, does anybody know Cypher's third romantic interest? Wow, you guys really don't know the history of the most interesting X-Men. What?
You don't need to make excuses about not knowing Cypher. It's like being like, you don't know Chester A. Arthur.
Psylocke.
Psylocke.
Oh, nice.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We're going to push through. We're going to do this. Dans quelques Cypher est-il mort? Dans quelques Cypher est-il mort?
That is going... See, I'm not sure if you're asking for your issue, so I'm just going to say New Mutants 60 in 1988.
That is correct.
What
issue did Cypher die in? New Mutants number 60.
Great. How many more questions are there?
So many.
why?
I think there's 10. There's 10.
10.
Okay. Coma part de que trauma. It's a follow-up to the last question. Como part de que trauma?
Can we do like phone a friend?
Do you know this?
No, I just know what the question is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we can do is do you want to use your one phone? Wait.
Are you asking about how he died? He took a bullet shot by the animator that was meant for Ron.
I'll tell you what. That might be one of the other questions, but that's not this one.
Oh,
I'm sorry. But remember that answer for later. We'll, for some reason, come back to this.
Nice. Great.
Great run.
Really great, run. Great stuff.
Good job. That was truly incredible. I think we have time for one more question or so. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name's Jarrell. Having a real load of fun here.
Sounds sarcastic. Okay.
Thanks. I don't know how I can follow that.
That's right.
I can't. So my question is, you know, with the Weatherman, writing a morally gray character, is there ever a point where you kind of think, this would be going too far for the book?
Interesting.
Great question.
That's a good question. I think that, I think the focus is in... being honest, I think, emotionally with the character's choices. So insofar as somebody would be, you know, taking an action that is in character and that is publishable, no. Not really. I think we kind of follow it where it goes, or that's what we've done so far. Or certainly we haven't encountered anything that was I think what we call like totally off limits. I mean, we definitely make some choices, even in the first issue of the book, I think, that are polarizing for some people. So that's a good indication for you, I think, of how far we're willing to go to, you know, to be truthful.
Yeah.
All right, very nice. Cool. Good question.
We've still got one more? Or
No, we can take a quick question.
Boothman's
quick
question. Got a question.
Oh, yeah, Boothman, ooh. What's up?
I want to ask, because I don't know when I'll get the opportunity. The Weatherman's one of my favorite new books.
Yeah.
I really love what you guys are doing. The plot and world building is great, and the artwork is amazing.
Cheers, man. Thank
I have
you.
Two kind of questions. One, I really love the covers for each issue. I'm wondering what's the process like of, like, putting together a cover. I think they're really striking, And two, you were speaking about a polarizing moment from the first issue. I had a bunch of friends that I recommended this book to, and they also loved it, but they had a hard time getting past a really horrific death in the first issue. And I'm wondering what it was like putting that moment together.
Sure. You want to go to the covers first?
Yeah, sure. Well, when we got started, this huge box arrived, and it was this big Plinko device, and the covers were at the bottom. Sorry, it's the best dad joke I've got. We spend a lot of time really talking about how to kind of cultivate and design the style of the book and what we wanted to represent and how much we're kind of putting into it. And this, you know, much like the last question about a morally gray character, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're doing in the book and then even to, you know, some of the other content and unapologetic moments in the book because it has a reason and purpose for being there. You know, I think we wanted to try and do as best we could to stand off the shelf and really establish who our cast are, you know, give a little bit of their kind of world building and character within everything. And, you know, in terms of color and design sense, at least on my covers, you know, I wanted to have freedom and experiment and you know, really kind of design the best thing that I could and, you know, kind of pay homage to the characters that we're spending all this time with. But also, too, the design team that we have is pretty amazing. Oh, yeah. And Tom Muller's design work for the logo and just kind of really creating the entire trade dress and the design of the book. You know, his design, I think, complements my insanity with his, like, you know, really stark, quiet graphicness. So it kind of created a great beacon that I knew we wanted to design and collaboration and talking about how, you know, what the covers would represent and how it would be viewed on the shelves.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, kind of a unique, you know, cover kind of square block art design. So it was really kind of a chance to kind of, you know, check all those boxes and at the same time have some real fun with the characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you just said. In terms of the moment in issue one that was polarizing. Yeah, I think it really just comes down to you know, story isn't always about giving us the things that we want to happen. Bad things happen in reality, bad things happen in life, and we have to deal with them. And I think that, you know, we are using this story to sort of, not all the time, but on occasion, explore some of those harsher realities. But yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely a moment that was very difficult, I think, for us as creators to commit to and to execute, no pun intended. But yeah, no, it was a tough moment for sure. I mean, I know that there are people who, you know, didn't feel great about it. But again, we feel like it was honest. We felt like it was, you know, a moment that deserved to be there for a variety of story reasons. I think it kind of, you know, says something about the chaos of pursuits of justice and revenge and the sort of spillover of violence in those moments. And also sort of like changed, you know, our main character's worldview in an instant. You know, you have this guy who has this sort of perfect life all of a sudden is anything but. And there's also just the idea of just sort of establishing right out of the gate that no one's safe because no one is.
Oh, shit.
And also just establishing as well that we have characters in our book that are flawed. Just like we are flawed. So that's the purpose of it. But, you know, like I said, it's a painful moment, but we're all going to, you know, when we all kind of experience it, you know, together as readers, as creators, and we move through it together, and ultimately it's going to lead us to some real moments of joy down the road.
Nice. Real quick, what's the deal with Brutal Noodles?
What do you mean?
What's the deal with it?
you mean like where'd it come from?
Yeah, what is the origin?
I think, you know, I'm a guy that loves food. I think we both are. Yeah. And, you know, I think when I really liked the idea of having, like a noodle shop, ramen shop in the future. But I'm also a big fan of, music and metal music as well. And so I like the idea of this like noodle bar that was just like sort of heavy metal themed. So that's where the Brutal comes from.
Nice.
And I like the juxtaposition of the two words, I guess, cause you know, it's, you know, noodles aren't brutal. That's really kind of fun. So that's just really where it came from.
Cool. Very cool. And that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Guys, it is time for trivia. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage, the star up trip.
Oh, boy. All right, this part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simple raising of the hand. I know last time you got denied, you came back, so you are up, sir.
That is nice.
He's kind of standing over here.
Yeah. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 yours. Please remind us of your name again, sir.
I'm Jarrell.
Jarrell, audience. Audience, Jarrell.
Hi, audience.
Hey. All right. Today's trivia is on topical comic news. Ooh. Okay. Question number one. Marvel is canceling and then relaunching what with Jonathan Hickman doing the writing? Is it A, X-Men, B, Alpha Flight, or C, Brian Cox? So it's either A, X-Men, if you would like $25, mm-hmm. or you could pick B and C and be completely wrong.
As much as I would love for it to be C, it's okay. A, X-Men.
That is correct.
Nice.
That is correct. Here we go. Question number two. Boom Studios is bringing the women of Firefly on a new adventure called Blank. Is it A, Black Spire, B, The Sting, or is it C, Gina Davis? So it's either A, or you could pick B.
I'm going to go with B.
B is correct, The Sting. All right, last question. Marvel has done fun issues that Justin likes and I hate.
Loads of fun.
Where what? Heroes play baseball, hang out at the beach. And has announced that summer special number one has been blank. Is it A, canceled, B, put into an ongoing series, or C, Samuel L. Jackson? So it's either A, canceled, which I'm very excited about, or you could pick B.
Wow, what a jerk.
Yeah. As someone who loves fun, this hurts to say A.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
A.
Oh, wait. Can I answer the secret?
Ooh,
oh,
you
okay.
Think you, if you
I believe it's The Long Kiss Goodnight.
You are correct, sir.
Wow.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Did you know that? You did know that.
It almost
the
seems
third
random.
Answers, the C answers of Peach Trivia Questions are another secret trivia quiz. Cool.
What a takedown of fun comics.
Yeah, that's great.
The load of fun is
and
a little
I'll tell you
lighter.
What, it's always fun when people are out of a job, so it's good.
No,
it's
I just
it's
think
good
like,
news all around.
Write a comic, have some things happen. I don't want to watch my favorite heroes play baseball. You know what I mean? Like, do something.
Baseball is something.
Yeah.
Just ask baseball.
I like how you couldn't think of one baseball player.
No, there's plenty of. There are plenty of.
Just ask Kenny Dykstra.
Almost. You were so close.
No?
Don Mattingly.
Hey!
Daryl Strawberry.
Hey, that's good.
Now you guys are killing it.
Babe Ruth.
Oh, wow. You had to go back for that.
Oh, boy. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Black Widow number 5.
Any reasons? Or
well, you know, I don't know if everybody's seen Endgame, but, you know, I may or may not miss some people, so it's nice to know that they are in the comic.
Real sneaky, bud.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good. He said may or may not.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So it's a real mystery what Pete meant by that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Low number 22 from Image Comics, a recommender series about... sort of a nihilistic look about a post-apocalyptic world where people had to live under the oceans and how it gets worse from there, and it's great.
Gorgeous. I'm looking forward to, we mentioned this earlier, but Little Bird number 3 comes out tomorrow from Image Comics. This is a book about a young girl in a post-apocalyptic wasteland who's traveling with a large dude named Axe, which seems like the typical story you know, except it has so many different layers, so many good other directions, and it does have this absolutely gorgeous art from Ian Bertram throughout it. Definitely, definitely pick it up. We'll also have a review of it on our Stack podcast, which goes in our regular Comic Book Club feed every Wednesday at 9 a.m. with a bunch of other reviews. Plug your stuff, guys. What should people be checking out?
Yeah, Volume 1 of Weatherman is out now. Came out in April. It's fantastic. Beautifully designed by Tom Muller, who I think we name-dropped a minute ago. And then we also have Volume 2, number 1, which goes on sale in June. Also fantastic. Can't wait to share it with everybody.
Yeah, nice. Looking forward to it.
Cool. Right. Spare Fighter Volume 1, still on sale.
Yeah, get that as well. They're both awesome. Couple of things before we go. This show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So check us out at patreon.com/comicbookclub. You get access to our Patreon Slack, which is a ton of fun, among other things that you can check out. Also, we have a bunch of other podcasts you can check out. We do a regular Riverdale podcast that is almost done for the season, Riverdale After Dark. That's going to run Wednesdays at 9 p.m. We also do a Cloak and Dagger podcast called Cloak and Jabber. That's Thursdays at 9 p.m. after that show. We have an American Gods podcast coming back at some point. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's
we're
like,
going to finish it up.
It's like a home improvement project.
We're going to finish it up.
Why do you bother plugging something until we...
There's a couple of episodes there to really heat it up.
Get ready. Let's get re-listen to it.
What's going to happen? I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what happens. We have a bunch of other podcasts that you can check out at comicbookclublive.com. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and keep your eye out for Pete Cronin on the train.
You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, and many, many more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jody and Nathan for being on the show. Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.